Welcome to MoneyWeb Now. Business news every morning.
It's Friday, 29 July. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, we're going to be chatting with Jimmy Moyoho, talking the Fashini Group. Strong update there, MediClinic update. Nice update, but does it matter? Is it more about the shipping company and Remgro who want to buy them? Adrian Saville, U.S. rates, second quarter GDP market. U.S. is officially in recession. I want to dig down this rabbit hole. Adrian and I have been talking a lot about this over the last, I think, 2 years, and well, here we are. And then some thoughts from me. A lot of peeps on Twitter waiting for the bottom in the market. I got some thoughts on that. This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines. MoneyWeb, Toyota resumes production at its plant in Durban. This was, production was suspended, what, back in April from that flood damage. It's been 3 months to get it back up and running. Business day, Anglo's production hit by heavy weather. Core profit down 28%. The half year numbers, dividend off 27%. We're going to see a lot of this across the board in resources. Sometimes it's going to be weather, but more than anything, prices are going to be down. Commodity prices, but profits still there. Markets will green everywhere. US markets, S&P up 1.2%, NASDAQ up 0.9%. In Asia, we've got Sydney up 1%, and Tokyo 0.5% higher. Commodities, mostly very green overnight. Gold, $1,775. Brent, a little weaker at $107.14 a barrel. Platinum, $880 an ounce. Palladium, $2,100 an ounce. Rand, lot stronger, $16.47 against the dollar. Top 40 opening call, we're looking for about a almost 300 point green open. That's about 0.4%. That is Tencent trades down 3.5% in Hong Kong.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Jimmy Moyoho. Jimmy, appreciate the early morning time. The Fashini Group trade update yesterday, really, really strong. I mean, looking good for them. They really are the sort of gold standard of clothing retail on our JSE.
Morning, Simon. Look, a really good update. Very pleasing numbers there if you look at sort of revenue growth and sales growth and that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, we also know that they got that approval from the Competition Tribunal on that acquisition of Tapestry, mm-hmm. of the Tapestry Group. So that's going to be good. It's going to bolster their offering. I mean, we know for the longest time they haven't been playing in that space. And now with the acquisition of the guys like Corycraft, Dial-A-Bed, that sort of thing, it's going to give them a lot more room to play with in terms of the home space, the furniture space, and that sort of thing as well.
Yeah, and I like the point around their UK business. And they did state, they said, you know what, we're actually coming off a high base, which is a fair point. The UK business, which focuses on women's fashion, doing exceptionally well because, and I quote, companies have been encouraging their staff to work more from the office and formal events have resumed. I suppose the post-pandemic world also plays into them and helps them as we sort of need to look smart again.
Absolutely. The return, I mean, for what, the last two and a half to three years, we've all sort of been sitting at home, and now it's sort of a return to work, not just in the UK. We're seeing that happen around the world as well. We're seeing that happen locally as well, with more days being required from employers to work from the office and that sort of thing. That's definitely going to bolster their revenues from a UK perspective. From a South African perspective, I mean, I think a lot of what they have and the offering that they have in South Africa is still being balanced by the fact that it's a sort of a diverse offering in that they're across both clothing and jewelry with guys like Stearns and American Swiss. Mm. And they're across various market segments and LSMs around guys like Markham, Fabiani, and Jet and that sort of thing. So diversified more on this side, and that's allowing them to still leverage off of that from a revenue perspective. But I think we'll continue to see some strong performance from them. They did also say that, I mean, pretty much all of their areas were impacted by those supply chain shortages. Yeah. They also lost, what, some 33,000 hours due to load shedding, trading hours due to load shedding, which is significantly higher than this time last year. So they are being impacted by that locally. And I mean, the hope for them at this point is that they'll somehow be able to offset that, which is very difficult to, because a lot of their stores and things are in malls and in smaller retail centers. So your malls might be less affected by the load shedding in some cases. But it is a cost, to business. It's a loss in revenues as well. So it'll be interesting to see how they navigate that part of the conversation as well.
Yeah, and that was actually quite a stat they put out, 33,000 hours. It kind of puts a number to it, to what the impact of load shedding. Of course, I look at 33,000 hours, and that to me just seems like lifetimes of hours. MediClinic came with an update. It was, of course, their AGM, so they did a trading update from there. It was, I mean, if you dig into the various different areas, I mean, it was genuinely positive expectations going forward. But I suspect maybe the market's more interested in that potential or now on the table offer from Remgro and their shipping poles, Mediterranean Shipping Company.
Absolutely. I mean, MediClinic, for all they've said, is everything's starting to normalize, Middle East starting to normalize, South African operations, Swiss operations, basically everything from their side is starting to look more pre-pandemic like. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think the focal point I also took from that was the fact that the fourth offer has now been tabled. Mm-hmm. And this one looks to be more pleasing. I mean, we started at 89 Rand a share, so then an offer was in at 102 Rand a share. And that's where we're sort of sitting there, and now that one looks okay. I think for that offer to go through. Mm. I mean, we know that Remgro has already sort of a small stake in MediClinic at this point. Well, I don't want to say small, yeah, but it's not majority stake. But this is going to sort of push everything over. And if the takeover goes through and the sort of the consortium between Remgro and MSC can agree on terms with MediClinic for this, I think it'll be a good boost for MediClinic. What we've seen in the past is a lot of the companies that sit within the Remgro stable perform exceptionally well. You look at RCL Foods and how well they've done, and you look at the stake that Remgro holds in RCL Foods. We sort of almost knew that this was inevitable when yeah, Remgro sort of showed an interest in MediClinic to this extent. And MediClinic has sort of been, during the pandemic, they did sort of suffer from a performance perspective, and they were at a discount. I mean, even if this whole transaction goes through at about 102 Rand a share, the 2016 share price, 2016 highs of MediClinic were about 210 Rand. So you're still at about 50% discount almost to where you were trading. And if you can start to then look to get the company back to that valuation, and that's, I mean, 2016 valuation is not too far back. So you'd probably look to see if you can get back to that valuation in the coming couple of years. And for Remgro and then the MSC group, they clearly have a plan to get there if they're willing to continue increasing their offer. And they can still see that even at 102 Rand, there's still a discounted value that they can unlock from that perspective.
Yep, and I take your point. And you zoom out on that share price, and suddenly that 102, it doesn't look so exciting. It's taking you back to the share was trading there in 2014, and I take your point. It's a much bigger, better business since then. Jimmy Moyoha, appreciate the early morning time.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Chatting now with Dr. Adrian Saville, Genereo Capital, and of course, professor at Gibbs Business School. Adrian, appreciate the early morning time. You and I have now been chatting, I think it was 2 years ago, where you spooked me silly when the debate then was actually about deflation. Of course, that quickly moved away. And we've been talking around the US, are they behind the curve, inflation coming through. And now here we sit, US inflation, 40-year highs, two 75-point increases in a row. We hadn't seen that before. I think 1994 was the previous time. And of course, yesterday, negative GDP. This is messy.
Morning, Simon. That is a good way to describe it. This is messy, yeah. And you have to rewind certainly to the 1980s to find a similar type of messiness in the economic circumstance. And in turn, that that cocktail of stubborn elevated inflation and very sluggish economic growth starts to translate into hiking unemployment, more wide dispersions in industrial performance, and challenges to business profitability and capital markets. So, it really is wide-reaching and far-ranging in terms of its impact from economics to social impact and business and capital market effects.
I want to go down some rabbit holes there, but before we do, you mentioned unemployment there. That is the one thing in the U.S. which does remain strong. I mean, and kind of almost head scratching. You look at two quarters of negative GDP, you look at all the other data out there, and then the unemployment just remains robust.
Yeah, which allows Powell and Biden to then talk with some, wonderment. What do you mean by a recession? I'm certainly sympathetic, to that sense. If the unemployment numbers are so robust, then you can, sort of scratch your head and, ponder, where is the recession? Because in the case of the U.S. in particular, a recession is measured by or determined by a panel of economists who look beyond just the GDP number. They look at the unemployment number, the industrial production, and then they determine, this does look like a recession.
Yeah, that's what the National Bureau of Economic Research, I think it's about 8 to 10 people on
that's
that.
That's right, yeah.
And technically, I'm old, maybe I'm new, I look at two negative quarters, and to me that was a recession. They're going to pronounce on it. Either way, and we have chatted around the inflation and was it going to be a hard landing or a soft landing? Notwithstanding the Bureau of Economic Research still to pronounce, I mean, is it almost now, can we say, look, guys, it is now actually a hard landing, and is there a policy response that the Fed can do, or do they just need to carry on with their rates?
Well, in response to recession, what the lever the Fed really needs to pull is the interest rate lever and to take interest rates lower. And, here you immediately see the bind that they're in, because to wrestle with inflation, they have to take interest rates higher. And if anything, you used the term earlier, they're a very long way behind the curve. The Taylor rule, which measures the economic slack and the rate of optimal inflation, assesses using that rule, it points to a interest rate in the U.S. that is something like 3% still to go in terms of interest rate hikes. So that's what inflation is calling for. Inflation is calling the Fed much higher on interest rate action. And economic activity is calling the Fed lower on interest rate action. They're in a bind.
Yeah, I suppose that's why they're in the big bucks. At least I hope they're in the big bucks. And they are in a bind. And what it leaves us is a U.S. economy. No need to remind anyone, it is the largest economy in the world that is in a really, really tough place. And there's almost no way to turn. And this is going to have those ripple effects. And we appreciate it. And the unemployment is strong, although if that starts to weaken, it gets ugly. But this suggests to me that the next sort of 6-12 months from the U.S. economy is going to be a real struggle, and inflation might start coming down, base effect, and maybe rates don't go up as fast as some had feared. But none of it looks good. It goes back to what I said right up front. This is messy.
Yeah, and just keep in mind, you know, talking about the U.S. economy, that it is very much a consumer-led economy, which means it is that much more sensitive to hiking interest rates, that it is the consumer that will respond, you know, to the fullest extent in the U.S. economy, making the interest rate watchers that much more sensitive to any federal policy move. When you take the observations of Jerome Powell into consideration, you know, he's starting to talk inflation lower and suggesting that the worst might be behind us. You know, nothing to see here, folks. This is all over. And so, you know, in that way, he's trying to sort of talk markets and in particular consumers into a position that there'll be a little bit more pain to go, but we're nearly there. You know, just stay with us. And also, very importantly, trying to manage expectations, which you and I, Simon, have also spoken about before.
And does that work? As a last question, because there is a world in which, you know, in 12 or 18 months, the last half of next year, where this has kind of moved through, and because this is not a like we had in 2008, where it really was a financial crisis, or 2020, where it really was a pandemic. This, in a sense, is just good old fashioned economics. This is what markets do. They move through recessions. They move through high inflation areas, and we come out the other side. I mean, is that the base case, or is that the optimistic head in sand case?
I like that that descriptor. Inflation is very much a behavioral animal. You know, that where economists and, you know, classroom economists try to insist it's supply and demand curves moving around. What really is going on in the engine room of most inflation epochs is its expectations that is driving inflation. So if you can keep expectations low, if you can manage people's beliefs that, you know, this inflation will pass, they're not going to then bake it into contracts and agreements and wage negotiations with the same vigor. And in that way, you know, if this expectations element is a very, very important component. So, you know, that's what Powell is trying to do in terms of that language.
And one data point, maybe he is winning. I think the wage growth and the last set of unemployment numbers was only 5.1%, which is behind inflation, which means maybe he is winning that sort of battle of talking it down. We'll leave it there. Dr. Adrian Savoy-Genera, Capital, always appreciate the insights. And that is our poll today on LinkedIn and Twitter. How concerned about the U.S. economy are you over the next year? Is it going to pass through and come out all right, or is it very much in trouble? Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Some quick Friday thoughts from me. A bunch of people I'm seeing out, social medias, emails I'm getting, conversations I'm happening with folks, and they're all saying, oh, they've got stocks they like, but they're waiting for the bottom of the share price, and they're going to load up on it. And I like the idea of having that list of shares that you particularly like, and keeping an eye on it. But careful of waiting for the bottom. We will at some point bottom, and maybe we have. Maybe it's already in, and that's it. And now we are moving higher, notwithstanding my conversation there with Adrian a moment ago. My advice is usually, have that list of stocks you like. When they start to get to prices that you do like, it's start buying. You don't have to go all in. You can buy a bit now and come back in a month or in 3 months and buy some more. But that waiting for the absolute bottom, short answer is we're not going to know when or where that was until I don't know, 6-12 months after the event. So if you like the stock and you think the price is good, buy it. It might go down a bit more, but I can tell you what, 5 years, 10 years, you're going to look at that price and you're going to think you were a star. That's it for today. We were chatting yesterday about the Banks of Africa data showing June salary increases not keeping pace with inflation. And truthfully, we've seen the same in the US, but certainly happening locally. We asked you on our LinkedIn and Twitter, what's your salary increase? Is it keeping up with inflation? Almost three quarters of you said not even close. And then the next two, the sort of almost evenly split, I don't have a salary, or some lucky folks, and it was a small percentage, single percent, saying, yeah, your salary is keeping up with inflation. Have your vote, have your say, Twitter and LinkedIn. The show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. We're live every weekday morning. The MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nobokhle, Nicole, Tetso. Last day for Tetso. Thanks to you for listening. My guests for their early morning contribution. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again Monday.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.